Thanks for listening to Bootleg Avocado. In this episode, we chat with Mark Seiden, CEO of Cloudwater, makers of a sparkling hemp beverage made with premium botanicals, 25 milligrams CBD, and only 40 calories. We had an opportunity to do a little tasting with him on his product line and also discuss his current climate and how he's been navigating his team throughout these very unexpected months. Please give a listen. Hope you enjoy. Thanks. Welcome to Bootleg Avocado, bringing you stories in the food and cannabis startup world. My name is Mara Rodriguez. In this episode, we talk with Mark Seiden of Cloudwater. So Mark, as CEO of Cloudwater, we're really excited to have a conversation with you as far as understanding your products, how you launched it and everything else. And also, you know, what we want to really focus on is kind of your story and kind of where you've gone to the point that you've gotten and kind of where you have to pivot and where those challenges have been. So Mark, thanks again for being here. Hope everything's well on your side.
Yes, thank God, Mario, thank you for having us. And I like to start any interview these days by just sending our thoughts and prayers to, you know, all that have been affected by this extraordinary crisis, and to, you know, our heroes on the front lines who risk their lives every day to save those of us who are inflicted by this. And then, of course, those hardest hit by the economic crisis on those front lines, hospitality and, you know, obviously other industries, but, you know, there's people that are, while I feel blessed to be here talking to you healthy, all those things are on my mind and on all of our team's mind as we, you know, navigate through this. But having said that, I'm grateful and humbled to join you today. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, there's definitely a lot of changes that have happened, and you know, I think everyone's adapting as much as they can. Coming from the food industry, we've been very resilient and trying to really help each other out, pivot. I think a lot of those restaurants are finding other ways of really being effective. We're creative when we need to, and we're definitely pretty resilient. So.
Yep. Well, there's no doubt that crisis that has no calendar, it does breed innovation, scrappiness, creativity. We certainly can get into that as we talk about our challenges.
Yeah.
And what we're doing as a tiny emerging brand right now, it's certainly very appropriate for that.
Cool. So with every episode, we start with a little empathy question, which is like, I have a deck of cards here that some random questions that really give a little bit more insight into who you are. And kind of show, you know, your empathetic side of things, I would say. So what I would say is, you know, we'll pick one card for you. We'll pick this one.
That one.
That one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that one.
All right. And then basically you want to answer this, in a very honest way in from a personal perspective, not really from your, you know, from your business perspective, if you will. Okay.
Sure.
So this is a question. When negative emotions arise, how do you deal with them? So this is perfect.
Right. They arrive from, you know, on normal days, right? You don't need something like this that's incredibly exacerbating to that. I like to think of before and after, and when I was younger, when negative feelings arrived, 100% of the time I would act out because I wasn't really taking them in and, you know, kind of filtering them or editing them or asking the question I think we all need to do is like, where do they come from? You know, what's bringing this on? And a lot of times, as humans, those negative emotions are self-reflective. Although we love to, you know, seek out pleasure and deflect pain. So what we do is we blame something else or somebody else or what have you. And typically, like I said, they're coming in to you for a reason. And so as I've matured, I've, you know, really started to ask, like, you know, what's breeding this? And I remember specifically some dark moments during this growth of the brand, where I was feeling incredibly negative and I needed some time for introspection And I stepped away for 2 days and I realized that there were some personal that I needed to take care of. And I don't want to get into the details, but I needed to find peace with something. And I did. And I have to say that, you know, not only did those negative feelings subside, but I think I grew from it because I took the time to realize what it was. Mm-hmm. And I owed somebody an apology, right? I had to go back to somebody and say, hey, you know, I've been feeling down about myself because, you know, feeling pretty shitty about how this went down. Mm-hmm. I came back and I was recharged. And, you know, most importantly, there's a bookmark for the next time is, you know, you stop, count to three, and really ask before you blame game, before you act out, you know, where's this coming along? Sometimes it's raining out, just crappy day, you know, right. So you live through it. Tomorrow's a new day. But those are temporary moments. They don't need to define you. They don't need to define the next, you know, 8 hours, let alone 8 weeks. Once you kind of pinpoint it, and acceptance is the key to kind of getting out of those moments. Great question.
Yeah. So I think I kind of feel you on that end, because as things, the more you let kind of things linger, the more it kind of builds up, and it's harder to really kind of go back sometimes and really admit, hey, that's my fault. I should have kind of reacted, have done this differently, you know, especially in kind of in the environment you're in, you know, kind of launching a brand or a product out there. I mean, you're going to go through a lot of stuff, you know, you're going to go through a lot of pain points. You're going to, a lot of personal relationships that you've had, people that you've hired, you know, there's a lot of things that you need to kind of really deal with.
It's going to test every facet, every category in your life, personal, professional, family, and I don't want to say it attacks at all. It certainly brings a lot of that stuff up. So yeah, very appropriate, you know, point to segue into that, because as a business leader, you're going to make a lot of mistakes, and leaders need to take full accountability and let their team know that they're, you know, they're not infallible, and they're willing to take accountability, you know, and move forward as they should as well. So you're leading by example, you know, at that moment as well.
So take me through the first 3 months of the company, which I think it's kind of the most critical, you know, like obviously there was a aha moment in the beginning. It's like, oh, this is a great product. I think we can kind of take this somewhere. You know, how'd you go from, okay, I'm going to be the CEO of this company to like, all right, what the first 3 months, you know, actually happened?
Yeah. Great question. And I think that moment of saying, okay, I'm going to be the CEO took a lot of time to get to that point. And I don't want to go off base, but my background is not in food and beverage. I am an entrepreneur. I did launch my last business in a basement, self-funded. I made 1,000 mistakes. I learned about operating a company. I learned about great people. I managed through the financial crisis of 2008. So I had some, you know, battle scars of, you know, extreme situations like this. And I think, you know, there's a saying, I'd rather be lucky than good. And I think luck is, you know, kind of bifurcated. It's not just drawing an ace every time. It's putting yourself in a position to draw that ace. Right. And I think by, you know, kind of, I like to treat is really learning in the trenches. A good friend of mine, and, you know, I had sold the business and I wasn't enough to retire. I was like just chilling out for a minute, decompressing. Mm-hmm. And I got a knock on the door and it was opportunity, right? And any entrepreneur runs to the door to answer that regardless if the timing isn't right. Mm-hmm. And a buddy of mine, Barry Kelman, my co-founder, said, I think I'm onto something here. I was in LA, I tasted these at a party and they tasted like crap. And it turned out his sister is a very reputable flavor scientist, and he brought mm-hmm. some CBD home. She whipped up some samples. And while Barry's acumen, as we get deeper into this, is about creating these great flavors and so forth, is not in operations or building a business. And he said, can you help me? And it really started with me just helping him as a friend. And, you know, following the train of your question, introduced him to a bunch of people. One thing led to another. And there was kind of like a third or fourth meeting, which I got invited to. And the people that I had surrounded them with were cannabis people, marketing people, food and beverage people. And they all kind of gave a thumbs up to the samples and to his, you know, vision at the time, which was, I think we can, you know, launch a beverage company. And I happened to say, maybe this is subliminal, but, or subconscious, I said, Barry, make sure you find a really good CEO. Yeah. And everybody in the room looked at me. And this is kind of the, that inflection point where I'm like, what do I know about this? I'm not your guy. And everybody said, no, you're the guy. So that's what started down that track here. But, you know, before I agreed to take the job, I did my due diligence, I think, as any entrepreneur would. And I met with his sister, and she was incredible. And she agreed to get involved in the brand. And then she introduced me to a co-packer. And slowly but surely, I started to network and also build an insulation around me, you know, to help kind of, you know, neutralize my lack of experience and knowledge in the beverage space. And, you know, it really, that was the aha moment for me. Like, wait, I could take what I've learned in the trenches. I can surround myself with, you know, as I talk about the team, beverage royalty and advisors who are in my corner. And that insulation would be good enough to get this business off the ground. And that was really where the intersection of those things, you know, came through.
So let's just kind of really continue. You know, one thing that I did hear you say, you know, towards the end there is like, you know, we want to figure out who we are. And I think that's kind of the, one of the most difficult parts, especially early on in a company. So what was the approach to really figuring that out?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, and I appreciate today, I think any aspiring entrepreneur, when you want to create a product, I think there's a balance in, you know, I'm a framework person. So, you know, drawing a box around who you are, but also, you know, not hard coding it too much, because I think that's where you see brands topple over too quickly, especially if it's run by ego. You want to run by passion and practicality, right? So be passionate about, you know, who you want to be, but be practical and understand you still have so much to learn. So, you know, we knew we wanted to be a premium. We wanted to be transparent. We wanted to be different, and we wanted to be cool and approachable, right? Those are, that's a lot of ingredients, but, you know, we anticipated there being a lot of noise. We anticipated there being tons of packaging. We anticipated there'd be a lot of claims and BS. So how do we create something that's not the most expensive, but is known as, you know, among the top, if not the best? And something that people really have react to, you know, with all of their senses, not just their taste buds, right? And so we kind of knew that going in, that we had this ethos of those attributes. And that those were our guiding principles as we started to think about the name, the packaging, the flavors, the ingredients of things of that nature. We had a backdrop to say, does this fit in, you know, to our criteria? And then we also knew we're going to learn a lot. So let's not make too much. Let's not over this, over that, because the way you pivot is remaining light and nimble, right? You can't pivot with 100-pound weight on you. So let's get some feedback. And, you know, the overarching principle there is let's go slow before we go fast. So let's not rush to market. Let's get out there. Let's create a community. Let's talk to people. Let's take their feedback. Of course, you can't listen to everything, but take the patterns that you hear and then ask yourself, do we want to make some adjustments? And that's exactly what we did. And I think, you know, fast forward to today, I think some of our success has really had been predicated on that thought process going in.
Right. So I'm glad that I got some samples in front of me. Can you walk us through kind of the product line? You know, what came first, how you kind of really honed in on certain flavors and profiles and everything else?
Sure. So, you know, this came back to Barry and Ellie, and then just we were able to add Dr. Carol Gollard, who is our COO. She's the former COO of Vitamin Water.
Okay.
And she's an incredible woman. And what I, what I'll never know about beverage, she just forgot, you know, 2 minutes to go. But between her, Ellie, and Barry, we were able to, you know, create, you know, what we thought were artisanal, premium botanical flavor profiles, again, that were different, that really combined some interesting ingredients, and that you could taste along the way, right? And we started with the grapefruit, mint, and basil, and the blood orange and coconut. Those were our two flagship flavors.
Got it.
Two, and we actually, those were in glass bottles. And we did exactly what I said. We went out, we gave most of it away, you know, sampling. We sent tons out to people we knew. Mm-hmm. And, you know, almost immediately we were nominated by BevNet for Best New Beverage, which was, you know, our first shot in the arm of validation that we're onto something here, you know. And invariably what we found, even in the two flavor profiles, that people liked them both, but they became obsessed or loved one of them, right? And we were able to then add other flavor profiles with some more confidence. And again, using the same recipe in terms of our approach. And that's how we ended up with four.
Yeah, it seems like, so as I'm kind of, this is my first time actually tasting this. So it seems like for me, it's very light and refreshing without being overly busy and aggressive.
Yeah.
And exactly. So that's kind of where the cloud water kind of, you know, sensation you're looking for, correct?
Well, it's cloudy, right?
The cloudy, beverage. Yeah.
So it's cloudy. It has sparkling water. It has organic honey, natural yeah. flavors, and of, you know, hemp derived CBD, hemp extract, mm-hmm. which, you know, science is starting to say, hey, that's an efficacious dose of CBD. It's amongst the out there. And, you know, it's only 40 calories and it drinks, we believe, you know, profiles. You really get a good, you know, sense of flavor. I don't know if I'm breaking up right now.
No, I could hear you.
No, okay. Yeah.
Yep.
You know, but it's still, you know, considered low calorie, and it's natural sugar, right? We do realize that some people drink no sugar, but yep. Again, to differentiate and not use any artificial anything, we felt good about how we sweetened it, and so far.
So, what was your thought process on the dose of 25 milligrams versus less, more, or whatnot? How do you derive to that amount?
Yeah, so that's art and science when we first started, but some talk about, you know, what is an efficacious dose or not, and also what's going to bring our customer, you know, as much value for, instead of you're in the CBD, it's a premium price, and whether it's $8.99, which is like the, you know, the bookend, bucks to $6.50, it's still a premium price. So we know that, you know, we want our customers to feel like, hey, not only does it taste great, but I'm getting value for my money, because 25 milligrams is a dose that will have an impact on me. And again, nothing acutely, obviously it's non-psychoactive, but, you know, it can, we have a lot of people write in and say, hey, it helped calm me down. It helps with my anxiety. It helps with my focus. Some people say it's helped with their arthritis after they've taken it for a while. So we feel great about that. You know, we're a for-profit business, but we're also helping some people out there, which feels great to us.
So tell me a little bit about, like, the, you know, the R&D side of things. So obviously you had a few flavors that you've experimented on. Now you've launched the new one, the chocolate and strawberry Aztec.
Yep.
So how do we go from, you know, these kind of a more acidic tropical flavors to a chocolate strawberry flavor?
Yeah, great question. So first we switched, we migrated from the glass bottle to this eco-friendly,
yeah,
sustainable, reusable top, which is a lot of feedback that we got. Some people like to dose it. And we had, you know, we had flavors in the queue, you know, being that, my co-founder sister Ellie is, you know, runs the flavor lab. We're in the lab all the time doing R&D. So we already had a lineup of flavors, and the blackberry tested well in our focus. And coming off grapefruit and orange selling almost equally, we added blackberry, and they all sell pretty equally. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, by the time we got to our fourth SKU, the market's starting to get crowded. Even some companies are knocking off our packaging, and we're saying, okay,
yep.
Remember our ethos, we want to be different. So what are we going to do? We had tested chocolate a long time ago. We decided that we wanted to make it, add a kick to it, put it in a black bottle, and take a risk, right? And I think, you know, again, I'm going to bookmark some things for entrepreneurs. There's time and place to take risk, but you should always be taking risk if you want to be successful, because You know, the way you differentiate is not to stare at your competitor all day and worry. It's to, you know, to really capitalize on your accomplishments. And we knew we had three hit singles, if you were, mm-hmm. and we could take a little risk here by taking a little bit of a, you know, a turn. We took the black packaging, which everybody loves, and we made a flavor that's really different. And you know what? We weren't sure what the reception was going to be. And so far, it's been amazing. Some people have opened it and said, whoa, what is this? Because they were expecting, you know, what you just described, this acidic, yeah. you know, botanical. Aztec is spicy. It's got like a cayenne pepper kick to it. And then you taste the hint of strawberry and the vanilla, and you're like, wow, this is, you know, it's an acquired taste. It's not uh-huh. for everybody. But I've had people that didn't like it and then have gone back and now are in love with it because they understood exactly what it is now, what, you know, what it's supposed to be. And yeah. all four of these things mix amazingly well with spirits if you do drink alcohol.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Throughout. Yeah. So, yeah. And so we took a risk and so far so good. And we feel great about that because, again, it does stand out as something that's pretty different.
Right. So I just opened this and just the smell, the bouquet that it has is phenomenal. I feel like I'm walking to like a churro shop or something that yeah. like you have those warm flavors of the chocolate. You have a little right. bit of that strawberry really coming through. Mm-hmm. No, it's great. I think it's one of those things, especially, you know, with the bottling that does help to have that bouquet when you open it, which is nice.
Yep. Yep. And, you know, while you're tasting that, again, it goes back to something, a premium experience to us is not just a price. You know, we want to enlighten the senses, every one of them. So when you look at the packaging to say, wow, what is this? Mm-hmm. Look at the, you know, the ingredients. There's a QR code on the back that leads to our, you know, our lab results. You can see immediately what we're putting yep. in, what's in there, what's not in there. And then, you know, when you taste it, you know, we get a lot of wows. And most of them are great. Some of them are, whoa, I wasn't expecting that. But, you know, again, we want all of your senses to be lit up here when you sample our beverage. And, you know, we'll continue to, you know, follow that because it's kind of working, to be yeah. honest.
I mean, the chocolate is very unique in a way in which, like, you're curious to have more sips and kind of really enjoy it more. Yeah. I think it's a great transition into something a little bit more unique that you guys really focus on. So, you know, great job on that for sure.
Well, you know, look, I do, the more we talk about the brand, the less is it about me. I have an incredible team. I really am so lucky to go to work in war with these folks, you know, diverse group of professionals, entrepreneurs. And, you know, I mean, from the branding, actually my wife does a lot of the branding and my head of marketing, Alexandra, I'm just, that really helped make this brand special. I get to articulate it because of my title, yeah. I guess, but it really is so less about me and about this great team. And again, I'm saying that for a reason. You know, it's not a one person show when you're an entrepreneur. You need great partners to be successful. It's impossible not to, you know, to do it without that.
Right. So you guys are New York City focused, correct? You guys are born and bred New York, or?
Yeah. So we launched the brand in New York City. Mm-hmm. We distribute through Big Geyser in New York.
Yeah.
We're in Los Angeles. Air One was kind of our flagship, relationship there.
Okay.
We have two local distributors in LA. We are in Pura Vida in Miami and a few other hotels, which are obviously down right now, and have a relationship with Cisco down there. Mm-hmm. And we have a direct-to-consumer business that, you know, is really growing nicely, especially now, as you can imagine,
yeah.
as people shift to online. And we have sample packs to, you know, our cases. And, you know, right now we're discounting heavily. We're donating a bunch of product and money around. We're a tiny brand, and we're going to suffer through this too. But my whole team yeah. is really concerned about giving back. You know, at a time we might yeah. be arguably needy, but you know, this is our ethos. We're giving as much as we're taking in right now. And, you know, so we're trying to be available anywhere right now to anybody who wants to sample it. But, you know, distribution wise, New York, and you know,
as CEO, how do you kind of navigate through these unexpected times? You know, I think you expressed a lot of the give back and really kind of assuring your team that they're kind of in the right space and comfortable. How do you kind of do that at a daily basis? How do you prep yourself for kind of the next day?
We prepped ourselves for a 4 to 6 month downside, which is probably too long. Okay. And I then called a meeting with the team and I said, look, we all have a lot of work to do. I want to hear good ideas every day. But by the way, your jobs are safe. I'm here to support, let's stay busy. And, you know, again, everybody shows up every day ready to go to war. Mm-hmm. They're all worried. They have relatives who are sick or whatever, but they're just such incredible professionals. And they help prep me, right? Because you got to, you know, feed off as much as you give. And I'm just seeing energetic people, you know, and they love the fact that we're giving back. Right. But, you know, to answer your question, I keep in touch with them on a daily basis. We have our weekly meetings. We talk about, you know, what's ahead, what we can't do anymore. We want the idea bank filled up this week with new ideas on, you know, things that we can do to continue to stay relevant, innovative, and of course, keep the lights on, right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's the best you can do. But like I said, it does breed innovation. And I think we've been pretty creative in some of the things that we've been doing. The sales and things continue to come in almost at a record pace right now. Whether that lasts or not, I don't know. But cause and effect, right now, everybody is positive and everybody is locked in. This goes on for 6 months. I can't promise you anything. I don't think it will. But the first thing you do is make sure the institution is going to make it through, and then understand what pain that you're going to have to dish out, and be very, very upfront and transparent. Don't you dare lie. Don't create a false sense of anything. Because mm-hmm. again, people are going to remember this and how you handled it and how the company was. And that's the only thing you can be doing right now.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Communication is definitely key. On your end, what's kind of your, you know, we always kind of interview a lot of different entrepreneurs in different stages in their growth stage. There's a lot of people that do listen to this that are kind of, they want to launch their brand. What's kind of your advice to them, at least on a beverage level, on how to really approach it? And try and, you know, survive those initial months.
Yeah, well, first, don't become my competitor, please. We have too many. No, I'm kidding. I'm coming from a place that I didn't know anything. I did really literally knew, you know, very little about this whole industry.
Yeah.
First and foremost, if you were going to be a business leader, I mean, know your domain. Really educated. I took an online course in CBD like immediately to understand the science and so forth. I think building a framework, it's like building a house, right? So you're building the frame, you're asking yourself, what am I going to anticipate putting in the house, right? So if it's going to be speakers, you're going to pre-wire the house for that, you know, whether you put in the speaker day one or not. Because again, if you too much and tear down, that's where you run into just, you know, company exhaustion and, you know, you fizzle out pretty quickly. I know a lot of entrepreneurs who are very opportunistic and they want to, you know, conquer the world type of thing. Mm-hmm. And people talk about execution, but planning is really, you know, the fabric that goes into the execution. And, if you execute flawlessly on a failed plan, you'll get a failed outcome. So, you know, the planning stages are really important. And look, you have to move because you can't sit there idle. So it's really balancing that. And then really just executing exceptionally well, even if it's one thing, right? Just get one thing down to where you're like, wow, this is great. And then go wide, right? Okay. If you go too wide and try to go deep on, you know, too many cylinders, you're going to run out of gas, right? And it's not going to build a culture in your business. It's going to create chaos because then problems start to come in arrears of all the things that you're doing too much. And even though you want to do 10 things and you should, mm-hmm. you have to be disciplined. You really, really do, right? Half of being an entrepreneur, if not more, is beating the odds. I mean, there's odds that we're not going to make it no matter what business it is. you go into food and beverage, which is cutthroat, and there's a 99% death rate. Mm-hmm. You have to believe that you're gonna figure out a way. And entrepreneurs are great at that. We don't stop. We're scrappy. It takes a lot more than a percentage to stop us. And that's a great attitude, but make sure you have the people around and they're in the lanes. They're the right people are doing the right thing in their lanes, right? Because mm-hmm. there is such a commingling of expertise that's needed to even make a one single SKU of one beverage in the right package, right? With the right branding, with the right distributor to get you into the business. And there's, right. you just really have to check those boxes along the way. And if it's one SKU and you knock it out of the park, how long does it really take you to go back and do it over if you did it right? Right. So, my advice is, I hate to sound cliche, is really keep it simple. So generally just saying like setting a tone for yourself every morning. Mm-hmm. So mentally you're prepared, you go in, and that's going to really inform how you speak and handle people. Cause you're going to have problems every day and you have to be ready to handle it mentally. And then just from an organizational standpoint, time management, I mean, it'd be impossible for me to map out every single minute of every day, but what are your key objectives for the day? What makes it a successful day? And don't overload it, but make sure you're moving the needle every single day. And it's cliche. If you're not moving forward, you're moving backwards. And in a startup, you're not moving forward, you're moving 10 steps backwards. So make sure that you're putting the fires out and also moving, the needle forward on your accomplishments. And look, even in a time of crisis, we all need to be accountable. So you want to give leeway because this is a crazy time, but we have a job to do and making sure the team is locked in and, they're set on their accomplishments and there's a cadence of accountability every day in the company to make sure that people are showing up and doing their part. And again, you're not in a room with anybody now, so we're not, able to orchestrate physically and, talk to people with that same intimacy, but, technology and stuff is just as good. So it really starts and ends with you every day. So you have to place yourself in that chair in a positive frame of mind, ready to go to war every day and knowing that it's going to be that. And, a startup is like a baby. It doesn't know about the crisis. It doesn't mm-hmm. know about your need for sleep. It doesn't know about your anxiety. It needs constant nurturing. And there's no complaint box because nobody cares, right? And you have to be willing to, every single day, 7 days a week, 8 days a week, there's no breaks. There's no, chilling out on a Sunday. And of course, give yourself you time and take breaks and work out and stay healthy. But yeah. Every single day, you have to be pitching into the business. Those habits, those are things that I really reinforce every day, is setting myself up mentally to know that. And it certainly helps me as I get through every day.
That's great, Mark. So let's kind of wrap this up. What I want to do is kind of understand right now, what you guys are looking for, who you guys looking to connect with right now, given where you're at, given if there's any listeners out there who might be interested in reaching out to you. So where are you guys with that?
Yeah, so, we have a multi-channel distribution, strategy. Mm-hmm. We wanted to start, through a great distributor like Big Geyser in New York, which is mm-hmm. a great vote of confidence.
Yeah.
We want to build an online community organically. We don't buy followers. We work only with influencers who have come through us organically and are constantly, organically influencing the brand because they love the brand. They love to post and, right. They love the product. I want to build that. I hate to say it, one by one, it's slow. But I want, people to come onto our community and stay there. So, I'd love to meet more people. I'm on DMs all the time talking to people, on social and email. So I love to converse with people. As we think about a more national scale is, to scale across the country through broadline distributors like a KHE, Unify, picking out strategic DSD like Big Geysers yeah. across the country and, key markets like LA and so forth. We have this bottle and the flavor profiles sit on premise very well, meaning it goes great in restaurants and bars and high-end yeah. Situations. And we talk to a lot of restaurateurs who love the product and make specialty cocktails and so forth. And again, we love the aspect of meeting new people and then trying the drink that they love and understanding that there's an efficacious dose of CBD that could help them through their day. So I hate to just cast a net there, but you know, again, we're growing.
Yes.
And so all those channels need nurturing. So I want to meet more customers, more community folks, more distributors. And, you know, I'm always open to talking to entrepreneurs. If I can help, I advise to a lot of companies. I'm busy, but I love to help other people, whether it's, you know, philanthropically or helping other entrepreneurs get off the ground. And I will make as much time as I have available if people are interested.
That's great, Mark. And how can people reach out to you or get a hold of you?
Yeah, so we're on social. It's at Cloudwater CBD is our handle. Uh-huh. My email is Mark, M-A-R-C, at cloudwaterbrands.com. And through those two avenues, again, I'm always on email. I'm fairly responsive. And, you know, we have a great social team and so forth. So come join our social community. And if you want to try Cloud, we have sample packs that are pretty cheap. We're giving stuff away right now. You got one, right?
Yeah, they're awesome. They're awesome.
Yeah, and I just want everybody to realize that we're in this to make money, but we've lowered our pricing significantly, and we continue to donate, like I said. So I'm not here to sell Cloudwater for profit. Yeah, I want to stay in business, but the more I promote it, the more we can help other people, and you know, the longer it gives us to make it through this, you know, this crisis. And again, I think we've created something pretty special here that we're very proud of.
I love that, Mark. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks, thank you, Mario,
for building this community around this brand. I love it. I think you guys have a lot of success coming your way.
I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for your time and this opportunity. And, you know, just good luck to everybody out there, and stay positive and stay strong.
Thanks, Mark. Have a great day.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. We'll be right back.